observe there and to talk to a lot of people, stay in close touch, and to some extent to influence, at least to give, to suggest attitudes or ways of looking at things and so on. Now, we have the German elections, French elections, we have the entrance into the EEC of Britain and so on. As I was saying, I think that the economic relationship between the United States and the EEC is not yet resolved and not has reached a stable condition. And the economic thing, of course, itself has a lot of dynamic in it because new problems arise, and it's going to throw up new problems. So I wanted to see how the thing looked on down the road, having in mind that I could then line up my own activity and advice and counsel to take full advantage of that. One of the interesting things, although there's a lot of that within Europe, the nations and the higher authorities of NATO hold to themselves a lot of the decision making. The fact is that their underlying attitude of confidence and a sense of cooperation with the United States, I can influence that to a very large degree. And that confidence, of course, is based on the sense of identification of interest, of cooperation with the United States remains very, very basic to them. In our main, what I carry as my hit parade of main issues in my pocket, the American force strength and related to that under your formula of comparable effort by the Europeans, European force strengths, and then the MPFR fits into that and tied related to that or paralleling it is this security conference, which is, I'm sure, a matter of some considerable concern. The relations with France, which I think are being put now, they're working to a much better status. I put a lot of work into improving the tone of that relationship and working out areas of cooperation just as fast as the French will allow the pace to go, but the initiative being on their side, for example, contingency planning for their forces that are still in Germany, we still do that with them. We conduct common exercises with them. We exchange information when they're tied into our air defense net, for example. Areas specific and concrete areas of that kind.
Those capabilities that could be employed against them.
is that carry with them uncertainty as to escalation. They need not necessarily escalate, and there are certain ways of using it which would have a good probability of not escalating, but no one can be sure. So I think this exercise is a very strong element of the deterrent on the Russians in terms of any threat to Western Europe. Now here in the United States, some very good work has gone on in defense. Jack Morse, who I've served with in times past, retired, Navy captain. He retired 10 years more ago than served in the AEC. He's over in OSD and ISA. He's doing very good work there and has improved the thinking about this. It's not a panacea, but it's very much an essential element, I think, in our...
I haven't seen this study. Have you seen this?
Yes, and they've done some good work on this. It's now getting down to...
They were supposed to brief me on it today, and they said they're not completely ready.
Well, I think you'll find that there's been a lot of development of the thinking to give these options, so-called, which are restrained but still significant. And I think that the burden of uncertainty in this falls over on the Russians, so that it acts as a deterrent, very, very essential element of the deterrent, in fact. As I say, this is an emotional area, and I try to work this problem with great care. The option approach, capabilities, not trying to prejudge, not trying to pin ourselves down, not trying to make commitments as to the exact way in which we're going to be done. I think this is the right course to follow. Modernization of the stockpile on a progressive basis is needed. I don't think any crash program, but it has been neglected now, well, since 4 or 10 years, since we had this, the government fell into disagreement on this.
Yeah, we haven't done anything about it. I think we've done for 6 years, maybe.
And I think the time is now approaching to lay out a modernization program on a steady basis to keep up this as an element of our deterrent.
Do you have any information with regard to Soviet activities in this field?
They did. Yes, we got it largely through what they did with their launchers. They have the Scud missiles and the Frog missiles deployed with their forces, forward forces. At army level, these are that they're capable. They seem to apply the technology that we know they have. They would use pretty big weapons on their Scud and Frog. They do not have the artillery that we have, which is very small field weapons. Also, we have some advantage, I think, in our tactical aircraft, the kinds of weapons, the selectivity that we have there. They have a capability, though, and studying first their launcher systems, second their storage sites, and here, to the best of my knowledge, we still do not have a fix on whether they actually deploy nuclear weapons in the satellite countries. But they have storage sites there where they could. And then finally, their material production on that, we have a pretty good hold. So that gives us a feeling of what they have on their side. They do have the capability. I feel, and this is part of the really very basic element in my own view of the security relationship there in Europe. And I often quote Winston Churchill in his speech out in Fulton, Missouri, where I would sum it up in one part of his speech where he said that the Russians of that day were moving into every area of weakness and strife where they could, but tending to shy away from confrontation with us. He said they seek the fruits of war without the costs of war, which I found to be extremely revealing. And I think
they've done it very successfully for 25 years.
Yes. I think it's our business
cost of the pluck a better fruit.
That's right, to deny them the prospect of any fruits, while making it clear that there's a high probability that they would undergo very great costs. And the way that applies here is that I think the fact with both of us having this tactical nuclear capability, which neither one wants to exercise, they have to ask, is there anything west of the Iron Curtain that's worth enough to us to bring this into play? First of all, it has a good prospect of defeating us, what we're trying to do there. And second, it carries with it the risk of a war that nobody wants, which would be devastating to Russia itself. Well, those, I would say, are the three big problem areas. The others link up with it. Question of keeping up the force strengths in Europe, and that means keeping up the American strength, and tied to that the NBFR. I've given a very close study.
I saw you. We at least think we ought to, as much as possible, do something that reduces their tank strength. If it's going to happen.
Yes. Yes.
I agree with that.
But let them say it. I would get into discussions with them and test them out on this by putting to them some very concrete things. This is what gives them their offensive capability. How much is that offensive capability against Western Europe really worth to them?
Let me ask you a question. Danger, and if only we can get together and reduce the danger, it'd be great for them. And we see them taking us on.
how totally the American connection. Incidentally, if I could be very little indiscreet, I went down and I talked with the new Minister of Defense, the German. Labor, his name is. He was the head of one of their big trade unions. Not as able, not as projective of
labor, but
the no dummy. I was the first international visitor that he'd had since he came into his job. We had a good tour of the whole subject area. And I talked about the American connection with him. And he said they're very concerned about this point that you raised. And he said that he would tell me something indiscreet, that he had spoken to George Meany. And he suggested that the importance of NATO was such that Meany really ought to take a rather balanced view as to American political affairs, because they thought that there was the view that you have of NATO was very encouraging, very important to them. What he was saying is that they are very worried about some of these proposals for cutting in half. And so that's what he was really saying. Now, on this point that was raised with Governor Reagan by Minister Harmel of Belgium, that the Germans needed to have more voice and more say, nobody has been able to find anything that that's really based on. And this may just be part of Harmel's notion of adjusting the balance in Europe between the French and the Germans. He's, of course, the Belgians live in terror of NATO coming on strong and they're being exposed to the Germans. They're just terrified by that. But nobody can really put much into this thing that Harmel raised.
Just so we're not agreeing. As a matter of fact,
I would not accept that as a premise.
You would be able to.
Security conference as well. Now you find that privately. They want to be sure that we don't go too far. And they want to be sure that we don't drop our guard. And as I put it, they want to be sure that they retain the American connection, because that means survival to them. And they know it. And they know it. There's no doubt about it. Let me go back to one interesting point that I've used to challenge them just a bit on this. They told me about their concern and so on. They raised this from time to time. Not having anything specific to base it on, but just because it would be devastating to them if it were to happen. I go back, I say, do you remember what happened with the boat on Taiwan coming into the, Taiwan in the UN took place last fall? What did your ambassador tell you would be the reaction of the United States if that boat went the wrong way? And they all say, well, he didn't say anything about it. I said, do you know that, to my mind, that was the most dangerous moment for NATO in its whole 20 years? If Mansfield and Company had been on the other side of that issue, in my, I would estimate that they could have destroyed NATO. They could have ran through in the emotional surge that took place at the strength of feeling that was demonstrated there. I said, you there endangered the American connection more than I've seen it endangered before. I tell them that was a stupid thing to do, and Europeans generally aren't stupid in that way. And then they'll try to argue with me what the merits of it are. Not involved in that, but what I am involved in is to know whether you are analyzing what is needed to maintain the American connection. And then I go right into this business of keeping up their force strengths, keeping up their military budgets, which, in my judgment, are not, across the board, are not seriously out of line. There are weaknesses, there are things that they are failing to do, particularly as they shorten terms of service, as concessions sop to their left. I think that's, those steps are very bad. We've got a very bad proposal up in Denmark now, which is in many ways the weakest of all the NATO countries' attitude. But I keep pounding that it is necessary to keep up their side of this. If they will do that, if they will hold to a steady course on what has been laid on in response to your formula of 2 years ago, that given comparable effort, the United States will maintain and improve and will not reduce its forces except in the context of mutual reductions. If they will continue to do that, then I tell them I think the American connection can be can continue to be maintained. And that is the heart of it.
Well, the main point to emphasize, Andy, is you know, just what you've been doing is right. You have to realize we have 3 months from today, but the election. Now, that decision would be the damnedest debate in this country about defense levels and about a bug out for NATO and so forth and so on. I mean, I've got everything on Greece, which of course is the Danes, the Norwegians, they all love that. And some of the British left. But good God, it destroys NATO too.
Yeah, that's right.
Take off, but just cut off the, you cut off Turks and you ruin the Mediterranean. But anyway, apart from that, the main thing is that that we have this period when we're going to have more deals with the Russians. Let's face it, it has to be done. But there isn't going to. We've been just scrupulous in not only informing them and consulting with the rest, but in making no deal with the Russians at the expense of NATO, because that helped us make the deal with the Russians. And they're quite aware of that. Now, the worst thing that the NATO people can do is to indicate lack of confidence in this administration. They have to realize that they're going to indicate lack of confidence without getting into our elections more. But they're going to do their, you know, their inspired leaks and the rest, kick the hell out of the American doves. That's what they should do.
Yes.
Let's hear stories like that now. They really got to do that because the of course they have a press over there like our press that is oriented strong on the left and they love to hear us, but see that sort of thing doesn't particularly help, because then we get it both ways. We get it from our doves and we get the idea that our policy also is right in the heart of the sheriff. And anything they can do, to have the European community disintegrate and fall into slumber and become weak so that they can roll over.
Finlandize itself, sure.
Balkanize.
Finlandize,
and then Czechize.
But we're forward with them. You can give them every kind of assurance on that. But in these next 2 or 3 months, it's very important for them to be tourists with us.
I have taken the stand that the department council, and I think it fits right into that, that we should hold a steady course.
Right.
A steady course over the next few months, which will be turbulent. I think we can do that, and I think that we can continue to maintain this, keep this thing pulled together. The best evidence, I think, from the Russian standpoint, is their reference to this not wanting to negotiate on a block-to-block basis. I regard that as utter nonsense. On their side, they have a block.
Sure.
Whatever you call it, that is a block. It shows they have the grip on these people. What they are really saying is that they want to see NATO disintegrate and want to break the American connection.
Right, of course.
For people to be taken in on this block-to-block thing, I do talk to the French on this because they use this term. They have told me privately that they use it not because they think that there's any validity in it, but that they regarded this as a way of blocking the MBFR. And the reason they want to block MBFR is that the French do not want to see any reduction whatever in the American force there. Yeah.
Well, good to see you again.
All the best to you, sir.
All right. Thank you. We get along fine here, except, you know, Henry's such a damn piece of it. I always have to open all of his papers.
Henry's done it. He just watches him like a hawk.
All the best to you, sir.
No, I'm not.